There's a lot of occasions in our life where we understand later on the consequences of what seems at the moment to be insignificant actions. If you've ever been in a car accident, if you're like me, you've gone through this type of scenario where you think, well, if only I had just left a minute later, or if I had left a minute earlier, or if I hadn't hit that red light, then all these little things that added up to me being in this moment at this time to cause an accident wouldn't have happened. And you kind of go back over your mind and think of all the things that if you would have known, you would have avoided, or you would have done something just a little differently. All the small things in your mind that add up to something, some event. I had a friend one time who, as we were going into someone's house, he was going to walk through the door, which was open, but he didn't notice that there was a glass door that was not open, and so he ran into the glass door, seemingly insignificant to open a door. It's just a little minor thing that you do to get into a house, something you take for granted, but it turns into a pretty big deal when you forget to do it. And so it's that type of idea that I want to begin to talk about this evening in a little bit of a different way maybe than some of those examples illustrate. I want to talk about some of the little things that are in our Christian walk that we find in the Bible, and just think about some little things that we do as Christians. And I have put little things in quotations because we're, of course, going to talk about how those really aren't very little when we look at them from the right perspective. I want to, before we get into our sermon, I want to say that we're thankful if there are any visitors among us. We're thankful for your presence with us this evening. We're glad to have you with us. If you have any questions or anything you would like to ask us about, we'd be glad to talk with you afterwards, or you can pick up a visitor's packet, and there's some information as well in there about who we are and what we do. I'm aware that there is still some problems with the speaker, so those of you on the left side of the auditorium over there, I'll try to speak up so you can hear me. We'll just work with that the best we can. Well, little things are often, as we said, a big deal in the Bible. Something that on the surface doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal turns out to be a big deal. A couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 31, Jesus gives the parable of a small thing that turns into something large. Matthew chapter 13 is the parable of the mustard seed. And it's this little tiny seed, one of the smallest of all seeds, yet it turns into a great tree. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 31, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." The kingdom of God is like just this small seed, something small that grows into something large. And really, historically, if you look at the movement of history that we would call Christianity, it certainly has turned out that way. As far as the significance of the events when Christ was resurrected from the dead, according to the Roman Empire and all the people looking at the political world of that day, this was no big deal. It was just a misplaced allegiance by a couple people to some guy who was executed in some remote corner of the Roman Empire. It's not a big deal. It's just this small little thing that most people probably figured would fizzle out. Or most people probably just thought it was a small sect of Judaism, which no one cared about Judaism either. It was just a very insignificant thing in its beginnings. But now, in the light of history and the world we live in, we've seen that there is no culture in today's world that hasn't at least felt some of the ripples of the kingdom of God in its culture. Another example we might look at is in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Very familiar story of Uzzah touching the ark. You remember they were transporting the ark, and what seemed like probably to Uzzah a small deal at the time, a little thing, turned into a big deal. Here's the ark of God falling down. The worst thing that can happen is that the ark fall down. That's the big deal, is that the ark is falling down, right? Well, it turns out that Uzzah, trying to steady the ark with his hands, it turns out that just that little, seemingly little action of touching something that's about to fall down doesn't seem like a big deal. Well, he is struck dead because, and if we're not going to take the time this evening, but if we were to take the time, we would look at how big of a deal that really was. On the surface, to a lot of people, it didn't seem like it, but if they knew what they were doing, they would have understood that was a very big deal. For him to be touching the ark of God and all that that represented of God's presence and all the things that go along with that. It's a little thing that turned into a big deal. We might look at the example of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Here they are about to go to war, and they're just waiting on a sacrifice. Not that big of a deal to just cut up an animal and offer it up. It's not the important thing at the time. What's really important, Saul says, is we've got a giant army that's about to come and attack us. We've prepared for battle, and we're waiting for just this little sacrifice that's getting in the way of us doing what we need to do. So let's just get it over with and go on. Well, it turned out that it wasn't just a small thing that Saul overlooked by performing the sacrifice himself. Instead of just waiting for a little bit, it turned in to be a big deal. Even we might think, and even as we talk to people in the world, you might think about the very first sin. Adam and Eve, all they did was eat some fruit, right? So two people eat some fruit, and now everyone else is condemned to death just because of that little thing. Well, it turns out, of course, that that was not just an eating of a piece of fruit. It was a very big deal. It was a violation of the relationship between man and God. It was a violation of who we are in relationship to God, of understanding that. First sin was not a small thing. It was a big deal. Those are maybe some negative examples. We can think even of going the other way. Now, some positive examples. We'll just have one example. Over in Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7 is a story of Jesus healing the centurion slave. You remember this centurion slave is sick, and in verse 2, the centurion slave is sick and about to die. And so Jesus sends some people to him, and as Jesus starts on his way in verse 6, when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." He's not even worthy to go out and talk to Jesus. He says, "I'll just send a messenger." And just that little thing, that little showing of faith, Jesus says in verse 9, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." That's not seemingly that big of a deal for this guy to just simply send a messenger out to Jesus to intercept him before he gets to the house. Jesus says, no, that is a big deal. This man has the greatest faith in all of Israel. And so what strikes us about these examples, and we could probably think of some others, is that on the surface of these, there is a disproportionate emphasis put on something so little. The emphasis that God puts on them seems to be exaggerated, or more than we might expect if we weren't reading the story like we ought to. And maybe it was wrong for Uzzah to touch the ark, but did that mean that he had to be killed for it, just for touching an ark? Did Saul's sin of just going ahead and doing the sacrifice, did that really justify God taking away his kingdom and taking away his kingship altogether? It seems like a pretty harsh punishment. Was Eve and Adam and Eve eating a piece of fruit worthy of death, worthy of being kicked out? And how about that? The last guy, the centurion, did he really have the greatest faith? Isn't that a pretty big statement for Jesus to make about such a small action when you could probably think of any number of things that would appear greater than this guy just sending out a messenger? Why do these things seem disproportional? And the answer, of course, is that they're not disproportional. That on the surface, these are little things, but in reality, they reflect something that is much greater than just the description of the action. A description of Adam and Eve eating a piece of fruit sounds harmless, but when you put it in the context of what they're doing to God, it becomes no longer a minor thing. And so it is with all of these stories. When you understand the story, these small actions have great significance. If I were to look at a child eating a cookie, that's just a description. There's a child eating a cookie, no big deal. And if I see that child's parent, before I see that child, and that parent has said, "You don't get to eat any cookies. You didn't eat your vegetables or whatever it is. You don't get any cookies." And then later on, I see that child eating a cookie. That child's not just eating a cookie anymore. That significance of that event has just changed. It's become much greater. It's become an act of rebellion against that child's parents. And so that's just a small illustration to help us understand the same thing is going on in the Bible. It's not just a small action that we see in these stories. An action in and of itself may be harmless, but when it reflects on our relationship with God, then it takes on a whole new meaning. Even something as simple as eating a piece of fruit or sending a messenger on ahead of Jesus can reflect a big thing about what our relationship to God is like. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42 says that if all we need to do is to be a servant of God is just give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. Not that big of a deal. Just give someone a cup of water. But if you realize, if we have the context of the scriptures and the Bible in our mind, we understand that we're not just giving a cup of water to a guy, we're serving the very image of God when we serve one another. Then giving a cup of cold water takes on a whole new meaning. And so the little things are not little things. They're very important. But you might say, well, what about the danger of focusing on little things? What about the Pharisees? Here's a group of people who were so focused on the little things that Jesus rebukes them. Over in Matthew chapter 23, we see Jesus rebuking him for essentially that. Matthew chapter 23, in verse 24, he calls the Pharisees, "You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." That you're looking at the little things so much, and you're being hypocritical, you're being legalistic. And shouldn't we be careful? Shouldn't we not be so focused on the little things? Even if you look in the prophets, if you go to Amos chapter 5, it seems that sometimes God doesn't care about the little things. Amos chapter 5, as he is preaching to them about their sacrifices, he says in Amos chapter 5 and verse 21, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, and I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. These are the daily things that the Israelites did, offering up sacrifices to God, and they were continuing to do those things. Why is God, why should we be concerned about the little things if God clearly isn't concerned when he talks to them through Amos? Isn't that just being a Pharisee to focus on these little things? Or is it really a contradiction? Does God want us to focus on the little things or doesn't he? Is he speaking out of both sides of his mouth when he says this in these messages that we looked at in the Bible? I mean, if the Pharisees were around during Uzzah's day, then maybe Uzzah wouldn't have touched the ark, and maybe looking at the little things would have been a good thing, because they would have got something that Uzzah and those Israelites didn't get. Well, the answer, of course, is that the Bible is not contradicting itself, because little things in and of themselves, and we're going to talk about what little things are, define that a little more in just a second, but the little things are not as important as what we're doing with them, the perspective that we have on the little things. Little things matter, but how we go about performing them matters just as much. Psalm chapter 51, the famous psalm of David, as he is repenting of his sin, as he is confessing of his sin to God, he says in Psalm 51, in verse 16, "For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." David isn't despising God's law there. He is not despising sacrifice as an action in and of itself. What he is pointing at there is the fact that it's useless if we don't have the right spirit. So the point that we see in the Bible is not to be like the Pharisees so much that we focus on the little things and don't see the forest for the trees, or that we don't pay attention to them and so neglect some things that on the surface seem like small things but turn out to be very important. Neither one of those is correct. It is doing the little things with the proper spirit. And again, little things, quote unquote, because they turn out to be, as we've seen, large things in the end. If a husband sends flowers to his wife for whatever reason, it may or may not mean something. It may or may not carry significant meaning. Because if the wife doesn't think that the husband's doing it in a spirit of giving, then she doesn't care about the flowers. It's just a dozen roses, no big deal. You don't care about me, you're just sending flowers to me. Or maybe it does, maybe it is a big deal. He really cares about me, he sent me some flowers, because she knows the thought that he put into that. The thing itself is neither here nor there. It is the spirit with which we're doing it that makes all the difference, and that's what we see throughout all the Bible. So what is a little thing, since we've been talking about it for a little bit here? What are we talking about when we talk about the little things? We'll talk about them two ways, negatively and positively. Negatively, it is something that we might not call a sin per se, something that may have some gray areas to it, or something that we don't necessarily, someone can't point the finger at us and say, well, you're in sin for doing that. Think about things like modesty or our entertainment, some things where we can't bind in specific areas, but maybe we can get away with doing some things that really we shouldn't be doing, but culturally they're kind of acceptable, and so that's okay. It's a sin that is easy to commit, that has seemingly small consequences. We talked about lying this morning, just that little white lie. The idea that you can just do something that's just small, and it's not the end of the world if I do that. We rationalize those type of things. And we just really, we're calling it a little thing when really it's not. But really, as long as we're not, you know, murdering or doing, you know, being promiscuous or any number of things that we look at and say, now that guy is just pure evil. I'm not a serial killer. I'm not some sort of murderer. And we look to the extreme and everything else is just a little thing. Those are, that's what we're talking about when we talk about the little things. Not the things that are insignificant, but the things that we culturally allow to be less significant. If the larger society accepts it, then we can accept it. If people who aren't Christians wouldn't frown on it, then it's okay for me not to frown on it. It's okay for me to indulge in it. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 47, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, is talks about this cultural standard of morality. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 47, he says, "If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Something that these Jews might have looked at and said, "See, I'm doing the right thing. I'm greeting my brother. That's a great thing." Well, good job. Even the Gentiles do that. The surrounding culture around you is accepting of what you're doing. That it takes more than just being acceptable by cultural standards to be a child of God. He says in verse 48, "You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that requires that we do the little things that make us a Christian. So negatively, it is those things that we kind of can get away with that the world would allow us to get away with, the little things. Positively, it might be things like starting your day with prayer, reading the Bible, meditating, discussing God's Word among brethren, just the fact that we talk about what God's Word has meant in our lives and how it's helped us to our brothers and sisters. It's not some great, grandiose act of faith. No one's going to shower praise on you for doing these type of things. They are so-called little things that we do every day. Again, the idea of just giving a cup of cold water, something that on the surface of it doesn't seem like a big deal. You're not going to get a lot of praise for it. And so negatively, we're talking about things that you're not going to be shunned or shamed by culturally. Positively, things that you're not going to just be lavished with praise for. It's too easy, brothers and sisters. It is far too easy for Christians to indulge in the little things of the flesh, but neglect the little things of the Spirit. I think that is where you and I, most Christians, are fighting their battle. Most of us are not fighting to not murder people. Certainly, we don't want to minimize the fact that our sins can lead to that type of thing, but most of us aren't struggling with these giant things, and most of us aren't going around doing these great acts of faith all the time that everyone can see. There's just not even something that we're concerned about, being lavished with too much praise. But in between those two areas is where we struggle, and we take for granted, and we put those things off. Say, well, you know, if I'm not praying like I ought to, then is that really that big of a deal? I'm still a Christian, I'm just not really praying. Or maybe I don't use language I ought to use. Maybe I curse sometimes, but I'm still a Christian. I just don't, you know, I just have that little problem. And yes, we do have our struggles, and no, it's not always easy to do the right thing. But those things matter. Those things make a difference. Can you indulge in the quote-unquote little things of the flesh, not do the little things of the Spirit, and still claim to be a Christian? Peter's denial of Christ, I think there's a lot of lessons we can learn, but I think if we are to put ourselves in Peter's shoes, one perspective we might take about that is that it's not that big of a deal that he denied Jesus, because here is the person throughout all of Scripture who is constantly showing himself to have more faith than the other disciples. He's the one that's putting himself out there. If anyone can claim to be a follower of Christ based on the things they've done and based on being with Jesus, it is Peter. Peter certainly had the right, if we were to view it this way, had the right to say, "Yeah, I might have denied Jesus, but that doesn't mean I'm not a follower of Christ. That was just a little thing I did for those people." But that wasn't the case, and Peter didn't think that was the case. when he looked at Jesus. It turned out to be a pretty big deal to be denying Christ. Peter acted to a bunch of strangers like he never knew Jesus. But it did mean something about his discipleship. We cannot just label ourselves as Christians and then neglect all the daily things that Christians do and still claim to be Christians. At least not in a good conscience. And so I hope we can understand how important it is that these things that we are supposed to do daily take root in our lives and how significant they are. And so I want to look at three things for the rest of our time this evening. I want to make three observations about some little things that might help us to gain a better perspective about the little things in our life, the things that we ought to be doing as Christians, the things that define what a Christian is not. Look at some things about what little things are and make some applications. First of all, little things turn into big things over time. I think we can see this in Romans chapter 1. And we're not going to read that chapter, but if you go down through the progression, you see what seems like a description of people getting worse. Romans chapter 1, and Paul, in these first couple chapters, shutting up everyone under sin. But it starts in verse 21. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him. They weren't honoring God. It just starts off with a little bit of not giving the glory to God, not honoring him as we ought to. And then down at the end of the chapter, notice in verse, as he makes his list of what these people have become, he says in verse 30, they are slanderers, haters of God. They go from maybe not honoring him, which is not a little thing, but it gets worse and worse and worse. We see that in the story of creation. We see man doing horrible things and then getting worse and worse and worse until finally God says, I've had enough. And the way they get worse is over time neglecting their daily life, their daily meditation with God. It's easy to take some of the little things for granted until they pile up over time. You know, if it doesn't rain today, that might not be that big of a deal. Some days it just doesn't rain. But if it doesn't rain today, and it also hasn't rained for the past 60 days, then no rain today is going to be on the news because it's a big deal. We're in a drought, and we need rain. So that accumulation of not having rain turns into a big deal over time. We have an entirely new word for it. It's no longer, it didn't rain today, it's a drought, because it's happened over time. Think about that in terms of our health. We're told that all the time, that the things that we do that affect our health are the things we do every day. If you can imagine that you go to the doctor and they find an early stage of cancer, you would, and the doctor says, well, it's no big deal, and nothing's happening right now. You would say, no, this is, yes, it's little right now, but it's going to be a big deal if we don't take care of it. It's not just a little thing. Little things turn into big things over time. In the book of Judges, Samson is an illustration of one of the many people who lead Israel out of the oppression that they're in constantly throughout that book. But you notice in that book a constant spiral from good to worse. And Samson ends up being the best of his generation, but his generation is so twisted and perverted that he's no good himself. He is a person seeking after women from other nations. He's breaking his vow of his Nazirite vow over and over again. And we see that downward spiral till it turns out the best person they have is not really a good person at all. And we might look toward the end of that book and the things that go on that lead to their civil war eventually, to where they have tribes warring against one another. It didn't start out that way at the beginning of the book of Judges, but it ends that way. And we see them constantly neglecting to do the works in God's law. And as a result, they know God less and less and less until they're just a depraved group. And eventually they're taken into captivity. The little things turn into a big thing over time. Maybe it's not that big of a deal to not be praying or reading one day. Maybe it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But when it becomes a habit of not doing any of the little things and constantly justifying doing the indulging in the things of the flesh that aren't that big of a deal, well, then it becomes a problem. And it gets worse. You don't just stay at the same level. You get worse and worse and worse and fall farther into sin. That's the way sin works. It doesn't stop. It's not content to take part of your life. It wants all of your life. But it doesn't take it all at once. Takes it little by little. Secondly, little things betray our true attitude. The things that you are longing for, the things you are desiring for, are the things you're going to pay attention to. You're going to pay attention to the details if it is important to you. And so they say something. If we'll examine ourselves, we can learn some things about what it is, what little things we do. Our temptation, again, is to belittle those things and say that's it's not that big of a deal. We don't want to be Pharisees and just look at the little things and say, oh, I'm doing this and this and this and have that self-righteous attitude. So we say, I'm not going to be a Pharisee, so I'm not going to worry about any of the little things. That's not the case. That's not the way it works if we have the right spirit. They do betray our attitude, and the things that you do specifically. Sometimes we like to tell ourselves things about ourselves that are in contradiction to the things we're actually doing. Just because I told a lie doesn't make me a liar, right? I'm just a guy that lies sometimes, not a liar. You see how that self-deception works. We rationalize some of those things. And we look to the big picture when it's convenient for us. We don't want to look at the little things when they say negative things about us. We look to the big picture and say, oh, I'm a Christian and I'm following God. I just don't do a couple things here and there. Well, the truth is, that ought to make you take stock. That isn't, again, to say that we don't struggle with things every day, that there aren't little things and things all the time. Paul talked about battling his body daily. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy thing to do, but it is something to help us understand and help us to align ourselves with what we're claiming to be. The little things also can change our attitude. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul talks about the things that we were made to walk in. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Sometimes we look at those, some of the little things, some of the things that we're supposed to be doing as Christians, and say, well, if I don't want to do it, if my spirit is not in it, then I might as well not do it. And maybe there's a little bit of truth to that. But there's also the other side to that, that sometimes your emotions and your attitude follow what you do. That who you are is a process of what you're doing. And so if God has created these things for us to walk in, and we do walk in those things, then we can have confidence that that's going to also in turn change our way of thinking, change our very spirit to be like that of Christ. The little things every day have the ability to change our attitude. If you've ever pushed someone to do something that maybe they didn't like to do, they say, well, I don't want to go out there and ride a roller coaster or something. And they say, no, you would really like it. Yeah, go ahead and do it. And they ride the roller coaster, and Turns out, yes, they did. They enjoyed it. They love riding roller coasters now. Well, that's sometimes the type of thing that we need to do as Christians. We need to get out there and do some of these things and trust that what God has told us to do is going to help change us and turn us into what we're going to become ultimately. Our flesh is certainly going to battle against us when we're trying to do these little things, but if we're convicted that they're worthwhile, then the little things will end up bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And last, this evening, the little things teach us big lessons. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul looked at the law of Moses and saw what on the surface was kind of an insignificant part of the law as it regards human behavior. He says in verse 8, I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. And he uses that to make an illustration, to say, if I'm sowing these spiritual things among you, then it ought to be okay for me to reap physical things. You can support me financially if I am giving you a harvest, a spiritual harvest. And Paul looked at just that little thing. This oxen doesn't know anything about fairness. What does that law have to do for oxen? Oxen doesn't know it deserves to eat when it's treading the grain. It has no idea of justice. It's just a little part of God's law that Paul said there's a principle in there that is a larger principle. And Paul understood that the seemingly little things from God's law had great principles to teach us. You ever think about, you ever watch the Olympics and watch those track stars, those sprinters as they're going the 100 meters? Their cheeks don't jiggle when they run. And that seems like a pretty insignificant, they do jiggle when they run, excuse me. That seems like a little insignificant detail that their face is really relaxed, but it turns out that's very important because they need to be relaxed. If they're grimacing and making all contorted faces, that means that they're trying too hard. It's not going to help them glide. It's just a small thing that they need to pay attention to, but it affects the entire way that they run. And so it is with the things of God. The small things, the seemingly insignificant things, the prayer, the meditation, not doing the things that the world would have us to do, not allowing our minds to be corrupted in all the quote-unquote minor ways that the entertainment of the world would have us to be have put in our minds. All the observance of God's law and the abstaining from the things of the flesh have big principles to teach us. The creation, God's creation, in all of its glory and all of its grandeur, has a lot of things to teach us about God. Sometimes I think in our scientific age, it's easy to just look at things and just describe them. And well, that is what it is, and so on and so forth. But if you look at the Bible, and you look at the authors of the books of the Bible, they're always looking at the little things, always looking at nature, always taking something from it and learning what they can about God. You know, the pride of lions or the actions of a lion roaring turn into something that can teach us or help us understand things about God. And so the little things can help us appreciate the world we live in and the Creator who made all the things in our world. If you're familiar, if you pay attention really not just to sports but to anything, anything that you can think about greatness in, it is always attention to the little things that separates the good from the great. And I would like for us to take that with us this evening, that in the kingdom of God, the little things are not just what separates the good from the great, but it can be what separates the goats from the sheep. We find ourselves standing before God on Judgment Day, having neglected all the daily things that God would ask us to do, having neglected to day by day become what God has truly created us to become, and we will find ourselves on the wrong side of eternity. All these things that God has given us to do don't always seem like a big deal, but when we think of them in light of eternity, they can take on enormous significance as we stand before God. So I want to encourage us then this evening to, as we go throughout this week, to pay attention to the things that might not seem significant. Pay attention to the listening and reading of God's word. Pay attention to abstaining from the things of the flesh that may not be a big deal to those around you, but can help delineate you, help turn you into the child of God that you ought to be. If there are those here this evening who have not been baptized, the act of baptism is not that big of a deal. It's just someone being submersed in water. But it's another thing that on the surface is a little thing, but it turns out to be a big deal because it is the beginning of a new life. It is the cause for celebration of the angels in heaven. And you can start a new life by just a simple action this evening. A life that embraces what God wants us to be. If there are those here who are Christians, and maybe you've neglected doing the things that you ought to do as a Christian. Maybe you've put off those things and you've seen the impact on your life. That the little things have turned into greater and greater sins, and maybe you need to repent of those things. If there is anything we can do for you this evening, won't you come now while we stand, while we sing?